Welcome to Brick House with Bob Johnson and Matt Baker. Brick House.
We're back. Another episode. Brick House. What do they call this? The double centennial?
Yes.
Episode 200.
Right, yes.
I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. We have a big... Remember in 1976 when we were all alive and they were celebrating the double centennial of America?
No.
We were all alive. We also have an America celebration for the 200th episode in the form of an all-America that we'll get to in a bit. But if you want to find us on Twitter... You can find us at Brickhouse Pod. I'm at Hey, it's Matt Baker. We still have an Instagram account. We haven't deleted that in the past 3 weeks. At Brickhouse Pod. Get to see some adventures from Bob's trip to Seattle with his buddy Anders. It was great.
Yeah, I gave a bum my cell phone to take a photo of the two of us. It was a brave move.
Yeah, that's nice.
He was playing soccer with an empty coffee cup when
yes.
I approached him.
It's very noble of you. You can email us through the website, brickhousepodcast.com. Find us wherever podcasts can be found. Last week I said Podbean, and it really confused Bob, but I won't go with that.
So our special guest this week is fitness coach Lalo Zuniga. Him and I met about 3 years ago now when I started training. I decided after I turned 30, I didn't want to be this fat forever.
No, of course not.
So I linked up with Lalo. He really helped me get into shape. And then we ended up playing on the basketball court a little bit, which is when I realized, oh my God, this guy can play. He looked like Kyrie Irving wearing a jetpack against me out there on the court. I learned a little bit about his background. He played point guard here in L.A. at the College of the Canyons in Santa Clarita. Was even an All-American.
Yes.
As you're referring to. So we want to introduce Lalo. The hook of this is we started the podcast a few months into training, and I was looking to get guests on the show to talk about basketball. So we talked about basketball for, you know, 3 hours a week
right.
whenever we're training. I was like, oh, you should come on the show. And he said, yeah, I'll come on the show on episode 200.
That's right. I did say that, Bob.
Is that really what he said?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
First, Bob, thank you for having me. Matt, thank you for having me. This is great. I did say that, but as you know, Bob, I am a coach, and I need to motivate people.
Right.
So I said that as a challenge for you to actually to have that 200th episode.
Oh, or, no. He's going to bill us for this, isn't he?
Or I actually said it because if you're going to be 200 episodes in, I don't know if you remember this, I said you could waste an episode on me and not do it at the very beginning, so that's why I said that too. So,
this is amazing.
A great episode.
Yeah, great.
About to happen here. First question, do you introduce yourself as an All-American?
No, that's actually pretty funny. No, I actually don't ever tell anybody that I'm an All-American strength and conditioning athlete. So not an All-American basketball player, which is the sport that I played. But that would be pretty funny if I were to introduce to everyone. I did not introduce myself to my wife as, hi, I'm an All-American. All I said was, you know, my name is Lalo and that's it. Just kind of like every other human being would. I do put it on my profile, though.
Very humble.
Yes, yes. He shows he's just one of us, Bob. He's, even though he's reached such high levels, he is just one of us.
When did you start playing
that? I started playing, I want to say when I was four, and then I actually have proof of that. My parents have a video of us playing in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
So I really got into it at a very young age. Didn't learn how to shoot, though, believe it or not. Didn't learn how to shoot until I was going into college. So I played my entire high school, middle school career, if you're going to call it that, not knowing how to shoot until I actually met someone that taught me how to shoot.
You were the Lonzo Ball of your high school.
Yes. Yeah. I probably shot better than him, and it probably looked nicer, but but yeah, it was pretty bad. I needed some coaching for sure.
You said National Strength and Conditioning Association that picked their All-Americans, that you were this your sophomore or your senior year? What was it?
It was my sophomore year, I think.
Sophomore year. So yeah. How do you even become a candidate for this? How do they pick their winners?
Yeah, so I don't know if I know every single detail on how, and what goes into it. That would be a question for my coach. But I do know that, as he explained it to me, is that every strength coach that is a part of this association, or every college, I should say, that has a strength coach that is a part of the association, they get to pick two athletes, a female and a male. And they'll pick two athletes from any sport that they're coaching. And they're really picking these All-Americans to, yes, it has something to do with their strength and conditioning skills, but I think a lot of it has to do with their leadership in the weight room and their work ethic. And so that has a lot to do with it. So it really comes from your coach. It's not the actual association, but the coach has to be a part of that association.
So were you naturally, prone to strength and conditioning, or did you have some dramatic improvement that won you this award?
In high school, I was big in training, and I wanted to train, and I wanted to get stronger. I knew the importance of it. We really didn't have a great program. Our head coach would just put the workout on the wall, and he'll have us do it, and okay, there you go. But in college really is where my game elevated. And if it wasn't for that strength and conditioning program, then I don't think I would have been playing, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's that serious.
Yeah, I looked it up. It does seem really serious. Just this year, one of the All-Americans was Kansas Jayhawk Devontae Graham, who ended up being a second-round pick in the NBA draft this year. He's on the Charlotte Hornets.
Nice.
And then this little tidbit. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Is this the surprise?
This is the surprise. I looked up the National Strength and Conditioning website and found their headquarters is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
The address of the NSCA, I don't know why I can't say that. The address of this association is 1885 Bob Johnson Drive.
No, is that for real?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Are you serious?
That's right. 80906.
You know, Lalo, there are two types of roads. that's which are called Bob Johnson's, and roads that wish they were.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, I've heard that before. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
This is making this really good episode then.
I couldn't believe it. It's a very small road, but an important one, right? Because it houses the NSCA headquarters.
Oh, they wouldn't be giving a road of such a prestigious name that would have cracks and holes and trash. They only the small elite roads, Bob. It's a very elite road.
It was the first thing I saw when I went to their website. It just gravitated to my name there.
There it is. Yeah.
That is a fun fact.
1885 Bob Johnson Drive.
Strange coincidence.
That's amazing. That's great.
So you're All-American your sophomore year. You're shooting over 50% from the three-point line at this point. Totally smoking, Lonzo.
Yeah, we're not going to say how many I shot, but yeah, over 50%.
Okay. Sure. 2 for 3.
I held that record for a couple of years. I don't know how it is now.
Uh-huh. Well, how'd the rest of your college career go? Could you have played for a D1 team? What happened next?
My coach wanted to send me out to Maine, to a college out there, and play. I think it was D2. I'm not too sure. I don't quite remember. I turned it down.
That's a long ways away.
Yeah, it is a long ways away. Not knowing housing, not knowing work, making sure I needed to pay for my school as well. Mm. So it was an offer, but not necessarily a full ride, right? So it wasn't that appealing. Plus, I was making a new life for me out here now that I was, getting out of college. So I really wanted to pursue other things. So I said, you know what? I think the basketball journey needs to come to an end. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I didn't continue.
Literally, California to Maine, you almost can't get any further, right?
Right.
So
unless you're Kawhi Leonard.
Right. Yeah, that's true. To go out there with no scholarship, to have to pay your way, to do all that, you really have to love it, but love it in a just a completely different way, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if I was going to go into it thinking, okay, after this, I'm going to play overseas.
Right.
I don't know if I saw that. And I think other kids would have probably said, yeah, this is my only shot to the big league. But
yeah,
that wasn't me. I wasn't looking forward to being a pro basketball player.
You didn't want to go play in Kazakhstan or something?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I think at the most I wanted to play in Mexico. Mexican, sure. So I wanted to go play there, I guess.
Oh, we need to get you on the national team.
Yeah, exactly. So that might have been a goal to have. So
you and Horacio Llamas. Yeah. Remember Horacio Llamas? He played for the Suns. Okay.
No. The only Mexican that I think I remember from UCLA, Mata.
Oh, he played, Lorenzo. Yeah.
Right? And then there was a...
Oh, Nahara. Yeah.
Nahara, right?
Yeah.
Eduardo Nahara. And then we actually played in a Latino league that he played in. And that we were almost going to match up with one another. I don't think that was going to be a good thing for us, but yeah. That dude was dominating.
Yeah.
He was dominating for sure.
Right.
Yep. Well, we're going to give your contact information at the end of the show and on the show notes at some point, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
My endorsement would be if you want to see some real Rocky stuff. pretty much a training session with him is just a Rocky montage. Stepping in between ladders.
Nice.
You're doing like karate chops.
Yes.
It's pretty badass.
Music just starts playing out of nowhere.
So I wanted to ask you, we've talked about this before in our training courses. Yeah, I thought that it would be an interesting subject for the listeners. So you watch a lot of NBA.
I try to. I do have two kids and a wife that I have to
think first
of. So, but yeah, absolutely. I try to watch as much as I can.
Can you tell when players are out of shape?
Not that I can tell that they're out of shape, but just looking at the way that they move or they're not, or they're gassed on defense, uh-huh. Right? Because that really shows the heart of a man, right, on defense.
Can you tell when someone's too tired or they just don't care?
I guess that's what I'm looking for. They're too tired and they don't care.
Uh-huh.
But I think that they don't care is also a part of them being out of shape. My opinion, but you know, it's a lot easier to play offense. I get it, but no, I don't want to mention this one player that I'm always thinking about. Actually, I was just bashing on him this morning with my brother.
Oh, yes, of course. He doesn't listen.
He probably doesn't.
We'll bleep it out.
Okay, yeah.
Wink.
Yeah, please do that. No, I actually keep sending my brother Instagram links of Carmelo Anthony's off-season workouts.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one player that I'm telling you about that he's training at Equinox one-on-one. And it doesn't seem like it would be a pro-level type of training. Now, don't get me wrong. If we were to do that, him and I'd be as tired as you when we were playing one-on-one. But I think at his level and his skill and talent, you know, I think he has a lot more in him. But maybe his motivation is not there.
Yeah, you know, it's a little suspect when I think it's two or three summers in a row now he releases videos of him working out, you know. So we know for a fact that he works out in 17-second increments at least.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's it.
Yep.
No, guys, I do this. You have to believe me. I really do work out.
So which NBA player do you think is in the best shape right now?
Is it wrong to say LeBron? Because he's in pretty phenomenal shape.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I feel like that's who it would be, right? I don't know.
You're also looking at the size of the man, too. You know, he's a huge individual. I think Steph Curry's also in a great shape, but these are all the top players that are in there, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're at the top of their game because I think they take their recovery, their nutrition, their strength and conditioning very serious. So wasn't Steph Curry, like, second... deadlifting the second most highest weight or something like that.
That's really? Crazy.
NBA?
No, in his team.
Oh, still yeah.
Yeah, in his team. So, and you can argue that his height has something to do with it, with the taller players, which it is more difficult for a 7-foot individual to power clean or to lift something off the ground. So there is that too, but that's a lot of weight if he's the second strongest dude in a deadlift, so...
I wonder when
I would guess Kevin Durant is the weakest.
Yeah.
well, he did say, right, that he works on his craft or his skill more, so on court skills more than he does off the court, like the stuff that LeBron James is doing when he came out with, or the report came out with him spending $1 million on his recovery or something like that,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there is a mentality still that certain players will focus more on one end of the spectrum than the other, right?
Right.
And from a coach perspective, you need to get strong and you want to get strong because that should help you in your sport. The question now is how strong, and you can get into a big conversation about that. But
yeah,
he definitely does focus more on his skill, and you can see that on the court as well.
I wonder if he can bench 185 yet. That was the knock on him coming out in the combine. He couldn't even bench 185 once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The combine is such a funny thing. Like, they're just looking for markers in,
right.
in people. So bench, I mean, I don't think I even benched 185 either myself in college. We did a bunch of push-ups, right? But he's not strong at all because you can see that in his body. So,
hey, are you saying
Josh Hart had like a 27-inch vertical at the combine and was the reason he got passed on by a lot of teams?
Yeah. I was going to say, Dante DiVincenzo had the highest vertical, Bob. You excited about him?
He's
and his
suck.
When Chris Paul was on the Clippers, I was a big fan. I'm still a fan of Chris Paul, but we would talk about him as, you know, seeming like he had a little extra spare tire as far as NBA players go.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then I remember he admitted that his rookie season, he was eating McGriddles for breakfast every day and then getting Chick-fil-A for lunch on the way home from practice.
All part of a well-balanced diet.
Absolutely.
So maybe I'm sort of setting you up for the answer here, but
yeah.
How does an NBA player gain weight during the season? I've always wondered this.
Yeah.
But your job is to exercise, not just in the game, but, you know, be prepared all day, every day. How is it possible for someone to gain weight and get out of shape?
Exactly. That's the recipe right there, what you just said. I think what Chris Paul's doing.
McDonald's.
McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. Players that don't look at their nutrition. That's a definitely an important one. I think he might be a player that after he's done playing, that's going to be it for him. He's going to, I think, blow up like Mark Jackson a little bit. I think he's a comparable guy to that. But I don't know his nutrition now. He might change it. Who knows? But if he still has those habits, then yeah.
Living in Houston won't help.
No, and I've never been to Houston, but I heard they got some, amazing
really
food.
Good food. Yeah. And it's not healthy.
This is what made this man right here, Bob Johnson. That's what made him who he is today.
I'm glad Bob is here because of that. So.
Yeah.
So what is the most important thing to health and fitness besides diet and exercise?
That's a really good question because I think everyone looks at the diet and exercise portion, which you should.
Sure.
But I think the mindset is probably the most important.
Okay.
You have to start with how do you view exercise and how you view nutrition and what it is that motivates you to be able to accomplish those two things, because it is really hard for people to change their habits of nutrition or their habits of exercise. So I would say mindset, asking people, and I always ask this to the clients that I'm first meeting or potential clients that I'm first meeting, is asking the reasons why they want to exercise. What's the reason for it?
I remember that.
And if you really get down to it, people say weight loss. They say they want to feel better or they want to perform better. So it's either a look, feel, or perform better. Mm. And yes, that's on the surface. But then you ask another question of why. Why is that important? It comes down to people wanting to have confidence. They want to improve their productivity.
Date Rihanna
as well. Uh-huh. So they have a lot of reasons why they want to, besides the I just want to look thinner. Right. So you really got to, peel the onion a little bit and figure out people, the reasons why.
Bob, what did you say when you met Lalo?
That I wanted to get in shape before it was too late.
That's good.
It's a slippery slope of McGriddles and Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Yeah.
It was actually that clear cut, because I tried to get a lot of whys out of Bob, and he's like, man, I just don't want to be fat.
Yeah.
I don't want to be unhealthy. I was like, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, he's like, what's with all the questions? I just don't want to be fat. Let's do this.
And that's a part of it, too. If Bob, that's all he wants to say, and that's his reasons why. I mean, if you look at him now, you can tell that he works out and he's taking care of himself. So that was a big enough motivation for him, so.
So, Lalo, we know you you like L.A., you like the Lakers. Well, I guess when they're good.
Yeah, that's exactly right, actually, when they're good.
The time when they were good was when they had one Kobe Bean Bryant, who has, I think we both have, well, I have one pair of Kobe Bryant shoes.
Yeah, the
I
Olympic,
like
the Olympic shoes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great. I have those, too.
Is it your goal to have an entire garage of Kobe Bryant shoes? Are you building some sort of shrine? How many pairs do you have, and what is the end game?
How many pairs of Kobe's or how many pairs of shoes do I have, I guess?
I guess both.
Okay, right? Both. So.
Oh, man, I didn't know this. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a real thing. It could be a bad habit, for sure. I can recognize that and admit that. I'm not trying to have a whole garage filled, even though we are moving into a place that has a garage now, so there's some motivation there. I started stuffing my shoes in my ottoman. So
okay.
Yeah, so there's a nice little compartment there just for me and my shoes. I do have more shoes than my wife. Most of them are basketball shoes. I have, I think, and this is not a lot. I think there's the shoe game is just through the roof for a lot of people. So
sure.
I only have 9 or 10 Kobe's.
Okay.
Right? They're all the same ones, though.
Okay. Which are?
Kobe 11s, the last shoe that he played with.
Okay.
I'm looking these up here.
Yeah, so
you
those
just
are
like the style of those or the fit or
even from when I was a kid playing, as soon as you put on a shoe, you got to be able to feel like you can go on the court and immediately play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear that, oh, you got to break them in. I think that's an old,
it's antiquated.
Yeah, it's not true for you to want to break in shoes. Like, you got to be able to wear them immediately and start performing. So the Kobe 11s have been the only shoes that I've been able to wear and say, you know what, you know, at 32 years old, I can still ball, and they're great right out of the box.
Are they high tops?
They're low tops. They're actually some of the lowest.
Everything I'm seeing here is Kobe 11 Elite lows.
Some of the lowest, actually. When I first got it, my first pair, I was like, this is really low.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Kobe 9s, or the 10s, I should say. I had the 10s, and I was like, okay, this is great. 11s came out. I got them, and they were really low. After a while, though, you get used to them, and every other shoe just does not compare to that shoe. He's come out with other ones, and those are not, because I've tried them out as well.
Right.
So.
All different colors? Or
so some of them are repeated colors.
That's fine.
Mainly because eBay has them where you can get them really cheap, and no one wants them because people are looking more for style than for performance.
Nice.
That works to my benefit. So if I can get the same color.
You've got the Easter pastel Kobe's
now? No, I don't have the Easter. Those are on sale. Those are on sale that no one really wants, and I think there's a reason for that. But there are a lot of the elite lows that I'm looking for, but I'm just waiting for promo codes on eBay, making sure that I can jump on those because they're a really good shoe. I'm looking to play until I'm 60, Bob. So
yeah.
Nice.
Matt, that's a goal of mine.
I like it.
So since you're such a big Kobe fan, what was your first reaction hearing LeBron James is going to be an LA Laker?
So just to clarify, Bob, I am a Kobe fan.
Yeah.
I do like Kobe. Well, not anymore because he's not playing, so he can do whatever he wants now. But I'm more of an LA fan than a Laker, Dodgers, Clippers, or a team or an organization fan. I love the city of LA.
Just whichever LA team is winning.
Whatever LA team is winning. If the Lakers and Clippers are winning, I'm going to have to choose the better team, right?
Okay. So you've been a Clippers fan for the past 5 years then?
I think since I met you.
Okay.
I probably became a Clipper fan just so that I, you know, can keep up with the LA teams, right?
Uh-huh.
But they weren't winning before that, so.
No.
Yeah.
No,
so I'm not going to waste my time.
Historical losers, actually.
Yeah. But to answer your question on LeBron, excited for LA, excited for the NBA. You can't hate on a player like that coming to your city and going to change the organization once again. That's amazing. Like for any person to change an organization, whether it's sport, business, that's pretty massive. And so people should celebrate that. And I'm excited to watch it actually as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't deface the mural.
That's unfortunate though. That's unfortunate, but that's human nature, right? They're gonna tear down things like that. And I think there's a camp that's gonna be a Kobe Laker fan. They're more Kobe fans than they are Laker fans. But that's just weird to me. Like, I don't know how you can. They're not basketball fans. I love the game of basketball. Let's put it this way: I love the game of basketball more than I love the city of LA. So that to me, to say that this is going to be bad for your team, you just know that they're not basketball fans. Like, I love what happens within those lines, sound of the net. That's great. So I can't see this being a bad thing for the NBA or basketball itself.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be good for the Lakers when they first signed him, and then they signed Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, and
it
Michael
got
Beasley.
Even better.
Yeah, that got really interesting, really quick. So it didn't end.
Is there anything that Lakers fans, or is there anything that LeBron can do to get those crazy Kobe stans to admit that LeBron is better than Kobe, or is it a lost cause?
6 championships, Bob.
that argument is probably going to be the only argument that Kobe fans are going to have is the 6 championships. The only reason why I didn't root for LeBron was I can't emulate his game.
Sure.
I can't go past you and then, you know, bulldoze over anybody and then dunk it on someone or, you know, hit a layup or anything like that.
Right.
So
if you can.
If you can, exactly. So I didn't like him because, to me, it wasn't attractive to me. I couldn't relate to it. I don't know how Kobe fans are going to be won over by him unless he wins those championships, to be honest with you. So if he doesn't do that, then they're going to say that he's a loser and that, you know, he's just not as great as Kobe. So, which is unfortunate. I think he's done a lot more than what Kobe has already. And that's hard for me to say because I'm not a big – I don't like LeBron as a player, as I've said. So, yeah.
Do we know about LeBron shoes? What do we think?
They just seem too bulky for me, yeah. So I've never worn them. I have actually never ordered a shoe. Nike has this great offer where you can wear shoes up to 30 days. You can wear shoes up to 30 days, return them used, beat up within 30 days. If you don't like them, you can return them.
Oh, wow.
So I've actually never done that for the Kings shoes.
Huh. Yeah, I don't like the high tops either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have long legs to begin with, so it almost seems like they come up to my knees. Yeah. So yeah. They're pretty high.
Do you have any thoughts on Kobe Bryant's Muse cage? Have you seen his post-playing career's opus?
It's filled with rage.
There is a lot of weird darkness to it, I guess, from what I've heard. But no, I've actually not looked into it.
You're not missing much.
I'm not. Yeah, I really am not. I heard that he got an Oscar, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. That was Academy Award winner, Kobe Bryant.
I'm sure it was because of his skills, mm-hmm. not because of his name. Or any of that.
Yeah.
I heard there was a lot other artists that were really trying to get in and trying to make a name for themselves, and that was unfortunate for them.
Well, he had like John Williams, who did the E.T. score and Jurassic Park, doing the music for it. So.
Sure.
I like how ESPN has put all of Kobe's stuff on ESPN Plus because they're really trying to hype that up. But it also they're just like, this is some weird stuff. So we want Kobe, but we want him on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, they're trying to hook you on becoming a membership on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't fallen for that though, Matt. I'm not doing it.
Good.
I only try to watch ESPN for games.
So with all these weird guys that they've signed on the Lakers since LeBron James, I assume there's going to be some TMZ headlines, maybe even before the season starts. What's your prediction for the first story?
Yeah.
The first controversy to break?
It has to be one of the young players with the veteran players, maybe Beasley or Rondo or something like that. It has to be a mismatch right there of both of them doing something out in the clubs in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the LA scene so well, but I mean, when you bring a group of veterans like that, I mean, it can be pretty wild.
Michael Beasley got kicked out of his first day of rookie orientation.
Mm-hmm. And look how far he's come, Bob.
Well, that's why they brought him in, to teach the young ones what not to do. So,
right.
I can't wait for the next Laker signing. Who do you think it's going to be? Dennis Rodman, Stephon Marbury, Kim Jong-un?
I love this question because immediately when I saw this, like, no, not that guy. Stephon Marbury, yes. I don't care who the third guy is.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, I think, if you look at Stephon Marbury's China clips, I don't know if you saw that, trying to fight up against Jimmy Fredette.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh, I heard about it.
So he's a 41-year-old man who is still trying to show the world like he can still play, and he's really showing, I guess, by scoring 3 points against Fredette's 51.
Yeah.
But I think he would be the crazy one. I think that they would sign. Why not?
Nice.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him play again with his shoes.
So with or without Stephon, are the Lakers going to win more games than the Cavs last season, who I think won an even 50?
Was it even 50?
I think so.
I think that's a pretty easy yes.
Okay.
I would say plus 50 for sure.
I think the Vegas over-under is 52.5.
Yeah.
I feel confident for 53 wins.
What do you got to bring up Vegas for?
Yeah.
They're pretty spot on.
they make it a tough call, yeah.
I would go with 53. Why not?
Okay.
I would go with 53.
I like the confidence.
I'm not going to Vegas to do that, though, but I'll say...
Hey, you're going to be able to do it here soon. Gambling is legal.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, speaking of predictions, what's more likely for next season? Lonzo Ball shoots above 75% from the free throw line. I think he shot under 50 this year. Or Kawhi Leonard re-signs in Toronto.
He shot under 50?
Yeah, he shot under 50%. There was a point where Jason Tatum was shooting better from three than Lonzo was shooting from the free throw line.
Oh.
Yeah, they need to be coaching him on the granny shot. You have a higher percentage.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Coach Wooden told Shaq to do?
Uh-huh.
I think Kawhi has a higher chance of re-signing. That's hard, man. That's hard. From below 50 up to 75%. I mean, what's the average? Do you know what the average is for the NBA?
In the NBA, I think it's around 75, maybe a little below.
Yeah, he's definitely not average. He's definitely not average.
Well, it's not like he's going to have any added pressure or anything playing with LeBron James under like extreme spotlight.
I mean, I guess he could shoot over 75% if he doesn't go to the line as much. Because of LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Man, he doesn't have the ball at all.
He doesn't perfect. Have the ball as much, so...
Maybe he only plays in the first quarter in meaningless game situations.
The average for last season was 77% from the free throw line.
Okay. He needs to be below average, and I don't think he's going to make it there either.
It actually holds steady for the past 20 years at 75 to 77, so... Yeah.
In the past how many years?
About 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we intro'd you saying that, you know, you said you would come on the show at episode 200. You told us a little bit that you wanted to motivate me to get there.
That's right.
But you didn't actually think we'd ever get to episode 200, right?
No, actually, no, I'm being very serious with you. When I responded with, come ask me to come on your show 200 episodes in, it was really because I did not want to start off your show with a bad or have your podcast start off with a bad episode, meaning I didn't want to get on there
too late for that.
Yeah, too late. Well, you're 200th in, like, you, this is a wasted episode if no one's listening. So I mean, they're gonna tune out in the first 15 minutes, like, oh, this guy's boring, right? But no, I really thought, like, you know what, let him build his audience, and then we can scrap an episode with me as a guest.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So now we're going to do our segment that we do every week. I think you listen to the show occasionally. So
yeah.
You're familiar with the diss of the week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since you're our guest, we're going to let you pick the winner of the diss of the week.
Very prestigious.
And give you a couple of nominees.
Okay, cool.
Are you ready for this? Yo mama is so fat. First off, a diss of the week nominee is from Sportsline. They make betting lines.
Okay.
For the future. This one kind of hurt my feelings.
No.
Since Carmelo Anthony signed with the Rockets, Sportsline's projections decreased the Rockets' chances of a championship. They went down from 4.8% to 3.9%.
Sometimes the worst disses or the best disses don't even need words.
Just
actions.
Just numerical.
Yeah.
Anyways, 4.8%, that's probably a lot lower than Carmelo Anthony's body fat.
Absolutely.
There's a zing for you.
Yeah, you're getting them.
Okay, so Carmelo, first one. Second nominee, I don't know if you saw, but Kevin Durant was on CJ McCollum's podcast.
I heard that.
And he, you know, he was just kind of clowning him, saying at some point, dude, get real. Like, Portland's not winning the championship.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, CJ went on Twitter and sort of clapped back at him and said, the gist of it was like, okay, you joined a gang that you got beat by, and then you'd go and join that gang and beat up your brothers with the gang. And Durant was like, you think that low of me, huh, CJ? I just did your effing podcast.
That's
Snakes
great.
In the grass. Boy, I tell ya. Okay, so that's nominee number two. The last nominee is a headline from Deadspin about a Dwight Howard quote, which I thought was great. The headline was, How I Became a Wizard by Dwight Howard, Age 7. It was referring to a quote that he gave at his introductory press conference with the Wizards,
right?
Which, you know, did not sound like the words of a 31-year-old man.
No.
He said, quote, I learned magic for 8 years. I traveled to La La Land. I learned how to work with rockets, then I went and learned how to fly with some hawks, got stung by the hornets, but through all of that, it taught me how to be a wizard.
That explains his entire career, just a jokester, not taking it serious, man.
My favorite part of it is actually watching Scott Brooks, you know, go from, like, kind of feigning laughter to, like, holding his forehead, realizing
yeah, he
what
had a very
has.
Serious
He's
look
like,
to
this,
him.
This is happening, oh no.
You know, I think he's probably well aware, too, that every coach that Dwight Howard has had in these past however 17 cities he's played for has been fired.
Yeah.
Soon after Dwight Howard left there. So what do you got? You got Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, and CJ McCollum for this week's winner.
Well, I'm going to stay away from Carmelo Anthony diss because this is going to be a very quick, you know, a diss to Carmelo episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like the second one. I love Kevin Durant's trash talk. That is some of the best stuff that you can do to a player to get in their head and to make sure that they don't, when they come on the court, that you remind them of what you told them on their podcast. So I think that's great that you go on somebody's podcast and diss them like that. So
that's good. That's a good call. I think I'm going to bet the over on Durant the first time they play the Blazers
next
season.
He has to back it up.
Yep.
Kevin Durant, winner of this week's Diss of the Week.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We'll hopefully have another very special guest to get us through these couple next months with no actual NBA basketball or players really changing teams. Thanks to Lalo Zuniga for coming on the show.
Thank you, Bob.
If you're looking to turn your life around, contact Lalo. How can they get a hold of you?
If they live in Glendale, they live in Glendale, they can get a hold of me by just going on my Instagram, and it's just Lalo Z.
Okay.
You can just type that in and you'll find my name. You have all my information on there as well.
Uh-huh.
Everything from email to even direct message. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Highly recommend it. He will get you fit, way fitter than Carmelo Anthony.
if you bring him some Kobe 11s at your first session, then he'll be yours forever.
He'll be on episode 200 of your podcast.
Or if you wear the Kobe 11s, we'll talk about them throughout the entire session, like one of my clients.
Nice.
Well, thanks a lot for listening, and we will talk to you all next week on the next episode of Brick House. ¶¶